We are in the season of Lent. If you didn't know, the centerpiece, thank you to Linda for the centerpiece on the table. Cactus. Huggable cactus. What do you think? Kind of reminding of us, Jesus in the wilderness is the theme there. And we are in a season of introspection and thoughtfulness and what have you. Fred Craddock quoted a famous online preacher who said, "You can't succeed preaching the cross. People do not want to hear that. They already have enough problems." Craddock was aghast, overwhelmed. I mean, who are we if we are not Christians of the cross? What are Christians without a cross? I guess we'd be a social club, wouldn't we? How would that be? Get together, sing some songs, listen to some stories we approve of that don't upset us, and eat. Does that sound like it could be a good social club? But Christians are people of the cross, and we need to acknowledge that. It's a good thing that there are not crucifixions today, at least that I'm aware of. It was a horrific thing. But it's part of the good news, you see. We don't always acknowledge that. We talk about Christ's coming and the good news, and people think, well, where is it? When did it when's it going to happen? We are in the middle of that journey to the good news. We are less barbaric than we were. Humanity has become much more compassionate. Think about that a minute, those pausing to help one another, stopping to do things when they need to be done. Think about the phrase being a good Samaritan. That teaching parable of Jesus has become a world definition of how to be compassionate to one another. And we see those, occasionally we see those on the news. Instead of the bad news, we recognize how many times and how often there are people doing good things, doing care and compassion of one another. The good news means we become a lot more inclusive. I don't know if we take that for granted, if we have to think that through. We are becoming more gender inclusive. I joined the conference. Roy Sano was the bishop. We had never had a woman bishop before in this conference. I think Burns had women clergy at different times. I don't know who your first woman clergy woman was. I'd have to do some research and dig back into your history. And Shelley's here. You're our historian. Good to see you, Shelley. Was Mary Ann Swenson our first female bishop of this conference? I think so. I'm not sure. Well, we've had three women bishops. I've served under five bishops, two men, three women. We are inclusive in our clergy. We're inclusive in the way we're doing things. I don't know that journey is finished yet, but we are gaining. We are gaining. And ethnicity is gaining. Ethnicity is getting better and better. Language inclusion and inclusion of genders. We are talking about repairing the stained glass windows at the end of the hall, and one of the possibilities is have different emblems of some of the different congregations that this church has helped launch. You launched a Korean congregation before I was here. I don't know of others. The Tongan congregation is a huge piece of who and what we are about. But to reflect on that inclusiveness and whatever, and to talk about all the different inclusive pieces of our denomination. I'm going to put Mike and Mark and Nalu and Paya and I are going to help sing to you. We're going to sing to you some words. See if you recognize these. Are you guys ready? Put it up there, Paya. Harlots and publicans and thieves in holy triumph join.
Saved is the sinner that believes from crimes as great as mine. Murders and all the hellish crew, ye sons of lust and pride. Believe the Savior died for you. For me the Savior died.
Anybody reckon we did it poorly? Yeah, thank you guys, by the way. Thank you, thank you. Recognize the tune? How many? Oh, for a thousand tongues I sing. Charles Wesley, I don't know if you know, but that was, he felt his life changed. It was his moment of conversion, if you will. And he wrote over 100 verses, and these are two of them. Kind of different from what we normally sing and hear, isn't it? Harlots and publicans and thieves and a hellish crew of murderers. And yet we are all of those in Christ joined together, inclusive. Inclusive and all of us sinners. All of you that are purely saints, raise your hands. For those joining us online, no hands went up there. All of you who are sinners, raise your hands. Amen, brothers and sisters. Not that we're staying there, not that we're proud of that, but knowing that we are on that journey. So as Christians, we celebrate the cross. We acknowledge the cross as part of the journey. And it's important to pause and to do that. I have, unfortunately, known families who come and they join a church and they're active in the church and something horrible happens to their family and they quit the church because they said, well, God didn't protect us from this bad thing that happened. God does not say that we will not experience the cross. God does give us a rose garden with thorns. And that's true, and we need to just acknowledge that and be humble about the gift that even though we are in the midst of trials and tribulations, Christ is with us. But that's what Jesus was saying when he said that if any of you want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. The early disciples, the apostles, believed that that meant that they needed to be crucified as well. And legend has it that 11 of the 12 were crucified. Again, legend, we don't have all the historicity to tie that down definitively. But I'm not sure that's what Jesus was talking about. We don't have to die on the cross. We are suffering under the cross. And we acknowledge Jesus' death on the cross as a gift to us, giving us life, our very lives, life and death and life again, the resurrection. But we can't get there unless we travel through the cross. The sermon title is Adoption. I thought I read it in the scripture, but I don't hear it now. Mark, did you read adoption in there anywhere? Did you remember? I didn't see it in there. I must have dreamed it. But it's the same thing. It is an adoption. How many of you were adopted, just out of curiosity? I am adopted. Anybody else? Didn't know I was adopted till I was 13. When I found out, I thought, this makes no difference to me. My dad is my dad. The man who raised me is my father. The genetic pool from whence I come makes no difference. I've since discovered that I have 7 step siblings. I've never met them and don't know them. And it doesn't matter. But I have discovered another adoption. I was adopted by Roy Sano in 1990, ordained. It was the strangest thing you ever saw. We knew it was coming, we get together, and it was in Fort Collins. Shelley, I bet you were there. No? 1990. Oh my goodness, I'm dating myself. But the bishop was up front with the cabinet and with a couple of other helpers, and you came forward and kneel in front of the bishop for your ordination. And they move around you and surround you and place their hands on your head. It's an amazing moment, and you feel them around you. And then after the ordination, they open up and you stand up. It's like being born again. Adopted into the conference. And I was, and the bishop, my family, it was wonderful. And then he moved. It was a little unsettling, you know. I thought, well, but you see, it's easy to get confused that we are adopted into a family of people, and we aren't. We are adopted into the family of Christ. Is it season for allergies yet? My voice is starting to fight with me again already. Sorry about that. Abram is adopted by God. No longer will your name be Abram, but it will be Abraham. No longer will her name be Sarai, but it will be Sarah. Names change. Somebody help me. The Catholic tradition, when you are baptized or confirmed or something, you get to pick another name that you add to your name. You get a baptismal name, right? Okay, Barbara just sharing that the great-great-grandson took the name Frank. So four names, okay? I have enough struggle remembering three, so that is what it is. But here we are with a name change. We are changed. We are adopted. You become a member of God's family. And it is Abraham who is the father of nations. We've talked about that a little bit. He has the 12 tribes. He has the 12 princes. So it is all of Judaism, the Muslim world, all our ancestors, descendants of Abraham and Sarah. 1990s, there was an article in Time magazine saying, maybe this will be a unifying factor. We're doing a big study on Abraham and Sarah and how the father is the father of all, and that this might be a unifying movement in society. Doesn't seem to have worked. But we are not adopted by Abraham, we are adopted by Christ. Herein lies family eternal. Herein lies salvation. Herein lies our journey and our support in the journey. And make no mistake that there might be struggles. God willing, none of us struggle. God willing, all of you celebrate and nothing goes amiss. But we are, as Christians, on the earth, not in heaven. And there are thorns on the rose bushes. It is not that we suffer or that we are afflicted, but that we know that Christ is with us through all of the pain and suffering, because we have been adopted. Harlots and publicans and thieves and murderers and all the hellish crew. That's all of us, everybody. Simple folk, naive folk sometimes, angry folks occasionally. Watch me in traffic sometime. We're doing the best we can. We just got to keep doing that, stumbling along occasionally, leaning on one another sometimes when we need a little bit of help and what have you, following some of those saints who have gone before us, who have helped show the path and helped teach us a way to be and how to be. But gathering together, and our gathering has changed because we are here, some of us in person, some of us online. We are now a community mixed and blended, and yet still a community together. And we're learning how to nurture that and how to how to lean on each other and share in person and online in prayer, but together gathering at Christ's feet. And sometimes we need to pause and remember that. I preached way back when. I just read an article about the fellow that says we are not possessors of the gospel. We are not possessors of truth, but we are pursuers. And we're following Christ. Christ is the truth. And there we can follow. It is Lent. We are journeying. Take up your cross and follow the Lord. He leads us. He is family. He has adopted us. We will never be alone. The journey may not always be easy, but we have one with us that loves us, cares for us, and that will carry us. Amen? Amen.